So we have an exclusive here. I mean, this is pretty big for this shitty show. You saw Spider-Man Amazing Part 2 at an IMAX theater with our only listener.
I did, yes. He was gracious enough to get me in, so I do feel bad giving this a subpar review.
Well, you're not giving him a subpar review
Oh
as a human
no.
being.
I would give him a 5-star review
Yes.
out of 4 stars.
Yes,
So
Ed is pretty much a 5-star human being.
yeah,
As
that's what I'm
opposed
saying.
to Amazing Spider-Man 2, which is like a 0.4 star movie out of like 4.
About, yeah,
And that's
that's
being
fair.
generous.
That's fair. My biggest complaint against this movie is it's way too long. It
Really?
clocks in at 142 minutes,
Holy shit.
and it's long. It's long. It's
That's way too long.
and it doesn't feel epic either. It just simply feels long.
Does it feel like a really long episode of the cartoon show, or is that too good?
No, to give reference, I loved Amazing Spider-Man 2, and I mean, or not that one. Was it Spider-Man 2, the Sam Raimi
Yeah,
movie?
don't confuse us now.
Please, sorry.
Amazing Spider-Man 2, you loved. They've already captured the blurb for the video cover, which you
That's
can
right.
buy already.
That's right. It's available.
Jesus. It's like, fuck, the movie's not even out yet. You can already buy Jamie Foxx's blue head in a 3-disc set. It's like, really? What the fuck?
It's so creepy too. Why would you want
It is creepy. That's why I kind of want it. Just I but I feel
that?
like it's going to be one of those items that you find at FYE 4 years from now, and it's like $10.95 because they can't get rid of it.
It'll be there. It's coming. It's coming.
Yeah,
It's
it'll
coming.
happen. It'll happen.
To be
Remember, oh, I'm sorry. I just want to say, remember all those Matrix DVD sets?
Oh
Like the
gosh,
one with the bust of Neo, and it was like a clear case, and it has like 10 freaking DVDs in like, stacked onto each other. That thing was like, what, $150 originally? Now you can't get rid of it for $3.95.
It's pretty available. It's pretty available.
Yes, and I mean $3.95.
Oh no, I got that. I caught it.
Yes,
Yeah.
yes. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go on about Amazing Spider-Man 2 Dose.
So, to give you a sense of how long this is, I'll try and cover as much of this movie as I can. But it opens
We
with.
don't have all night, Kyle.
Well, we do. We do. This is going to be a 142-minute review.
Ooh.
Oh, but yeah, to open, I would not recommend a drinking game where you drink every time a Sony logo pops up. You will die. So
Really?
please don't make that a contest. The ERs can't handle that much stomach pumping, so please avoid.
My God, we lost another one. Amazing Spider-Man 2 drinking game. Damn you, Sony. Damn you!
Is sad. Yeah, and Sony has this thing now where their logo pops up at the beginning of the movie.
Which just shows the arrogance and the pomposity of Sony.
Yeah, I just don't care for it. I mean, don't get me wrong. I get Columbia is owned by Sony. It's a corporation, yada yada. But that lady with that dress or whatever feels kind of elegant and kind of, I don't know, some sophistication about it. But when the Sony logo's there, it's just like, yep, this is a corporate movie. Get ready for a corporate movie. There's no soul here, so don't look for any. Enjoy.
You need more action beats. You need more romance. You need more funny banter. You need more skateboarding, Peter Parker.
Yeah, it just reminds you that this is not going to be a movie of art or artistic endeavor. This is a
Well, even
movie of
that. I mean, come on
corporations.
now. Come on now.
No, I mean, I'll grant you, but it's just like that the Marvel logo looks cool with with all the comic prints behind it. The Columbia logo with the lady I think is cool, but the Sony
Delete.
logo is just so dead and sad. Just
Well,
like
just
can't
think
get excited about it.
in 5 years that Sony logo will be with the Matrix DVD pile for $3.95.
It'll be somewhere else. Yeah, it's not going to
It
be up
will
there.
be in a dumpster, that's for sure.
And then we get this really protracted scene with Richard Parker.
Oh,
Yeah.
delight, finally.
He turns into an action hero at the beginning of the movie.
Is he Iron Man?
No, but he does fight someone in a plane, a la Gold.
Really?
Yeah.
So he is. So there's a fight in a plane at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
Does it have like the title? It goes 25 years ago.
There's some title, and then the Spider-Man logo comes up after that. So the title card is late.
Does the logo come out of like the flaming engine when it's exploding? It's crashing the camera.
So, but it's like you see the logo, and then it turns into like his suit as he's falling or whatever. I don't know.
So does Richard Parker die?
It's not clear. But see, what's great is that he makes this big claim in the movie that he's not a bad guy. That it's all thanks to Oscorp, and he's trying to protect his son and trying to protect humanity. And he's not a bad guy. But I'm thinking, this guy is a bad guy. Because he's on, like, a Learjet, just him and his wife, traveling to who knows where. So they must have embezzled some money from somebody. And then he has this, because you see in the trailer that, like, that
the
Maya
plane
car
going down.
That, like, pops up out of the ground or whatever, the
subway car. Yeah, right.
It's like, again, who's paying for this? Because Oscorp doesn't know about it, so somebody's funding this.
Well, just... you don't know, but secretly Richard Parker is the owner of the Clippers.
He is Donald Sterling, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, that makes more sense. But see, that's why I think he is that guy at the end. He's the guy in the hat.
Like, oh, so Richard Parker is the guy in the hat at the end?
Well,
it's not established yet. Well, at this point, for Spider-Man 3, is anybody going to really give a shit?
No, I don't think so. The movie's just too long for anyone to want to see it a second time.
And, okay, so I just want to skip ahead here.
Sure.
Does Norman Osborn's head end up in a frozen vat? Like floating in a jar?
It does not, sadly. Although his makeup is bad. He has bad makeup.
Well, is it as bad as Guy Pearce in Prometheus?
No, but it's like Evil Dead 2 bad.
Hey, that's just charming. That's not bad. That's charming.
Okay, well, that's charming.
Do you think that was why they did it? It was an homage to Sam Raimi for his accomplishment on Spider-Man 1, 2, and Tress?
No, because it also reminded me of, what's that movie? American Werewolf in London? Like that kind of makeup?
Oh, well, that's good makeup.
Well, but it's very green face. It's a super green face with like bits of skin kind of hanging off.
So it's more like... like Jim Henson style.
Yeah, because you can tell it's like he has a layer of real human skin underneath the fake crap they're like piling on.
Oh, it's like pancakey.
Yeah, and it doesn't look very good.
Don't you ever diss Rick Baker ever again.
It's like, yeah, you can just kind of like wipe that off, buddy. Like, you're fine. You're all right.
I'm Norman Osborn. I'm a better actor than this. Why am I in this movie?
He must have thought that way because he's in one scene. That's all he
Those faggots really know how to throw it in your face. That was from American Beauty.
Oh.
Chris Cooper. Right. I love bringing Chris Cooper from American Beauty into every other project he's ever done. You want to see my dad's Nazi plate? And that's Harry Osborn talking to Peter Parker about seeing his dad's Nazi plates.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. I see. Isn't that the question of the day?
Well, it's not the movie. That bit is not there. So.
That's not there. So that whole subplot with him being under surveillance by Oscorp is not in the movie.
No.
What's the point of that?
There is a scene where they're videotaping them out of like some van, which I'm surprised they can't see, but it's not really like brought up again in any serious way. They're just kind of like eyeballing them. It's like, all right, whatever.
That's how much fuckfish.
But then, let's see, because
I'm just gonna keep giving you Chris Cooper lines from other movies.
They have the rhino movies. Bit at the beginning, and he does not show up again until the very end of the movie.
So is Paul Giamatti in the fucking Zed thing, the robot transformer rhino?
At the very end, his CGI face is in it. Yeah.
So he's in a machine. It's like a suit.
Yeah.
Or is it like RoboCop 2? His brain and spinal column are inside of it.
No, it is his body, and it kind of makes no sense why he's chosen for this, because it's like, I don't really think it's a big spoiler, but Harry Osborn is in jail at the end of the movie.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
I know, big surprise. Whoa. Big surprise.
Because he kills Gwen Stacy. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
I didn't even see the movie, and I'm assuming that he kills Gwen Stacy.
He does not kill her, no.
Does Spider-Man kill Gwen Stacy?
Basically, yeah.
Is it okay? So it is like the comic. He does shoot his web in her face, and it snaps her neck in two.
And the web is oddly jizz-like in that moment.
Well, of course, yeah.
So it's kind of weird, and it's great too because she gives this whole valedictorian speech about how you need to live in the moment.
And like, oh, so they graduate out of high school in this movie?
Yeah, of course.
Oh God.
And which is so. Too on the nose, because then at the end they fight in the big clock tower.
Oh, that's like, the end? That's the final fight? The clock tower?
Yeah, and it's like, oh, I get it. Time. Thanks.
I didn't think of that. That's pretty cheesy.
And the clock stops and everything, or like he's trying to stop the clock to like save her, and it's like...
Right.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for like, right on the nose, that hammer coming right down on you.
Well, come on. I'm amazed that Ortsy and Kurtzman could write something that clever.
It's like, oh boy. Yep, buddy, in case you couldn't figure that out.
So wait a minute. Okay, so is there enough female characters in this movie? Because I'm really worried about that.
It seems
to be everybody's concern these days.
I don't get that either.
Marvel is fine with their one female character, but everybody else should have at least four.
Yeah, it's like I didn't want to tweet Devin, but I'm thinking to myself, okay, so Cap 2 has one plus Maria Hill for like 5 minutes.
Maria, well, no, they have Maria Hill and Agent 13,
and who not are even both a name. In,
who
it's
are
a
both,
number.
Yeah. Who are both in the movie for maybe 5 minutes and do and sit down behind a computer. That's all they do in the whole movie.
But he'd probably argue like, well, that's enough. Like, look at that. That's great character.
Yeah, right, right. Exactly. Yeah, just shut the fuck up, you failed screenwriter. Just shut up. I'm so sick of hearing about this shit. His bullshit. I'm so sick of it. I hate bloggers. They're the worst. They're the lowest form of writing. They're the lowest form of anything. I hate them. They're just awful. They got good points about fictional shit that means nothing, and that's about as much credence as they're going to get in life. I mean, in 20 years, no one's going to remember what they wrote because it's not going to be around. It's going to disappear like a fucking fart.
But back on your female point here.
Just like Spider-Man 2.
So you've got Gwen Stacy, who is pretty fully formed. I think she has her own opinions. She makes choices in this movie that affect the story. And she's smart.
Peter!
Very smart.
That's my what's her name?
Emma Stone.
Emma Stone impression. Peter!
Which she...
kind and of Marge Simpson-esque.
She does affect the story, and she does help to save the day at the end of the movie, which I liked.
So but she dies.
Right. Then you've got...
She is dead.
You've got Sally Field as Aunt May. Sally Field herself has admitted she does not watch these movies, so...
Why would she?
I don't know why
the
either.
The paycheck, for Christ's sake. What does she give a shit?
But she's incompetent in this movie. She has nothing to do. She gives some...
She doesn't hold up a cardboard sign that says union?
No.
Well, then I'm not watching it.
She does, though, give away some like minor hints to help Peter figure out subplot number 12. Where,
oh, Jesus.
Like, what does Richard Parker's notebook have to do with anything? They go further into that, which is awful.
Because this movie sounds like it's so fucking long. Please tell me Martin Sheen flashbacks into the movie.
His head does.
What?
Sorry, I'm laughing.
He has a floating head sequence?
I wish. No.
Remember, Pete, I'm in Saigon. I'm still in Saigon.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, hold on. No, there's a flashback scene where Aunt May is needlessly explaining stuff. And it's like, because the whole point of the Richard Parker at the beginning is this one word, Roosevelt. He's uploading this video of himself to the computer in the train station.
Uh-huh.
And it's this word, Roosevelt. And so it's 10 minutes of screen time to get one word across that Peter Parker uses to unravel this mystery of where this hidden cart is or whatever.
And it all leads to 9/11.
No, I'll get to what it leads to later.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, this flashback sequence features Aunt May and the head of Martin Sheen. You see the back of his head.
So it's not even Martin Sheen's.
No, it's just some like extra.
Hey, Uncle Ben. Hi. Before you turn around and it like floats off of the screen. It like, you know, that whip pan to something else.
Yeah, it's just like you just knew they just couldn't get him, so this is all they could get.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, what's Martin Sheen doing that he's so busy? West Wing's over. Like, what, is he protesting something again?
I think so.
I mean, shit. Did he get arrested again for protesting something stupid? I don't know.
No,
because he's so
sadly.
Salt of the earth.
No, but moving on, Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, so Jamie Foxx is the headline villain, right? He's the main dude.
I just feel like ultimately it's Green Goblin that has more of an effect on the movie.
Right.
And more of a personal effect on Peter, not just Gwen, but it is Harry Osborn, so it's like that familial relationship.
Which we have no idea about because this never happened in part one. So it's right. Just sort of like, oh, but this is basically Bill Paxton's dad coming into the movie and saying, I raised you as a boy and I saw your father grow up with you and I...
Exactly, Richard. Nailed it on the head.
Yeah, right.
But Jamie Foxx, he's a big Spider-Man fan, obsessed with the guy, and then Electric Eels becomes Electro.
Huh? Electric Eels?
Yeah, if you watch... It's in the Spectacular Spider-Man cartoon, and maybe it's in the Ultimate version. I don't know. But he, like, falls into this, like, vat of eels, and he gets, like, supercharged.
Okay, right there, that's just the stupidest fucking thing ever. Well, that's why Spider-Man is dumb.
It is similar to Batman Forever, which this storyline is based on.
Right, so. I was going to say, because he sounds like Jim Carrey.
Oh no! It's the exact same plot.
The same character, and the same, like. It's even got the same hero worship, like Bruce Wayne. And it's still the overacting that Jim Carrey brought to the role of Edward Nygma.
It's the same.
Jamie Foxx brings it to this character.
And they have this really awful theme music for Electro, which is this sort of like whispering thing, like this odd beat. It's like electric beat.
And is it then, Will I Am? Did he do the music?
It was like Pharrell and Johnny Mars and I forget who else.
Oh my god. So not only is the movie jam packed with too many villains, the soundtrack is packed with too many shitty musicians.
Oh, well, also of note, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. You can correct me later on some other podcast, but the Spider-Man theme music sounded very, very reminiscent of John Williams' Superman theme.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like it was almost beat for beat, and then he changed it right at the end. And okay, not quite, but it's close.
Well, I have a question, because I noticed when I watched the horrible MTV Movie Awards, they showed clips of, you know, summer movies, because that's all it is for, is what it's designed for.
It's a commercial
for summer movies,
yeah.
Which, and they all look like shit.
Sure.
But they showed a scene from Spider-Man 2, amazing, and what happens is it's the scene where Electro's, like, throwing shit in Central Park, or in Union Square, or what do you call it? Times Square. Christ. It's
who,
like,
cares? Who cares?
Times Square. And
Ed knows where we're at.
Yeah, yeah. And then, like, he throws the police car, and Spider-Man's jizz slingers, one doesn't work. So he's got one that works, and it goes into slow motion, then fast. So it's ramping, I guess, but it's like CGI ramping, so it's not in-camera ramping.
Right.
And does that happen throughout the entire movie? Because it was so annoying in that brief clip that I was just like, I can't sit through this.
I don't remember it. It does happen. specifically, I do recall when she's falling, Gwen Stacy at the end. That's what I referred to as that jizz bit. Because, it's oddly sexual.
Good.
Because it's like
something to look forward to.
It's like coming out of his hand so slowly. And it's like,
and he's like screaming in ecstasy.
Yeah, and it's just this big glob of white stuff, and it's like ejaculating from his hand and like slowly moving towards her.
Now, do they pull a Romeo Must Die, the Jet Li movie where they do the X-ray vision where you see the bone break? Do they get to do that with Gwen Stacy's neck snapping in two?
No, and she literally falls against the pavement too, so she like slams into it.
Oh, so she splatters.
Yes, so he like almost stops it, but not quite. I think just to kind of reinforce for the audience that, you know, she's dead. Like, it's not.
Yeah, not only did he snap her neck, but he cracked the back of her skull open and her brain is everywhere.
Right, because I'm thinking, like, if you just show the neck snap, people might be a little confused.
Right, but by doing, you know, they don't read the comics. And right. Everyone, that's what right. Sony, that's the Sony executive talk. They're like, well, nobody reads the comics because they're stupid and they eat a lot of food. So they're fat fuck dumb. So I think Gwen Stacy should hit the pavement like a fucking pancake, and then we'll sell Gwen Stacy pancakes to the fat fuck, fatty dumb fucks in the audience.
It is a pretty good visual, though, I must say. It is pretty good. Yeah.
Well, that's Mark Webb for you.
But back to that Times Square bit. What I don't like about that scene is that Electro turns on a dime. One second, big Spider-Man fan. Love Spider-Man. Next second, hates Spider-Man. Has to kill Spider-Man. And there's like no in-between at all.
So would that be racist? Would he be a racist then because Spider-Man is white and he's blue?
Maybe. I mean, nobody likes him, though, evidently. And his big thing, what I didn't get is he wants to show the world, I think his quote is, he wants them to live
up power.
Yeah.
Sorry. I stole your thunder.
That's fine. They want to live in, like, his world, a world without power. And it's like, whatever, dude. I don't even get your motivation at all.
It's Orsi and Kurtzman shit. It's like, what does the bad guy want? Oh, he wants to destroy the world, rule it. Well, why? Because it's prophecy, and he needs to do it, and he's got an orb of power. He's got power. That's all they play with.
Well, there's
and he's got blood. He's got super blood that'll cure everything.
Okay, oh, yeah, we're getting to that.
Yes.
But see, my idea would have been that Electro is at first a superhero with Spider-Man to sort of like be like his hero. And then eventually, you know, shit goes south and he becomes a bad guy. But, I don't know. I think they just didn't have enough time in 142 minutes to somehow fit that crap in. They had to just jump off to the next level of insanity.
I can't imagine this being 142 minutes and having no... splattered throughout. I mean, this sounds like a horrible mess.
It is because... everything feels disjointed. Like, there's scenes where he's fighting, and then all of a sudden he's, like, going to see Gwen Stacy. Then he hears, like, Electro a million miles away. Because he's, like, I don't even know where they're at.
It's called Spidey Sense.
It's gotta be, like, halfway across the city. And he senses something's wrong in Times Square. And, like, jets.
Shit.
But, okay, on to this Harry Osborn thing. And I have to say, Dane DeHaan saves this movie. He's fantastic. Absolutely. I mean, I know he's already being touted as being big, but he's going to be a huge star. I think.
Oh, big, like big dick? Or oh, you mean like big, the it factor.
Well, everyone already knows he's got a big dick. I'm just talking the it factor, but...
Isn't that the question of the day?
But he's great. And I have to say, the chemistry between Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone is also...
Well, I like all the actors.
No, yeah, I think they're all great.
It's just the story, they're weak stories. It's obvious these movies are made by committee. And I understand the politics and the business of the movie industry, but come on. This is like cold, cynical filmmaking, paint by numbers, and I hope it fails horribly.
It's on its way, but this Green Goblin thing bugged me a lot.
Yes, please continue.
Because the whole gist of what's going on is, for some reason, Harry Osborn has some genetic disease passed on by his father and so on and so forth. So he's going to die. So he needs Spider-Man's blood
in order
to save him. What?
Why?
Because in theory it's supposed to work. I don't know.
Why?
You kind of have to roll with it a little bit.
Why?
Believe me, it makes less sense later. Okay, so...
Jesus.
So, yeah. So, he needs Spider-Man's blood. So, he asks Peter to ask Spider-Man. Makes sense, because Peter takes his pictures. They kind of establish that in this movie. So, Peter is very reticent. And then Spider-Man comes for a visit... And also says no, which really makes no sense. It's very redundant. It's like you don't need it.
So Spider-Man, like, all he has to do is like give him a vial of blood and should be okay.
Yeah, and what I think is odd is that they don't bring up that maybe Harry could figure out Peter Parker is Spider-Man. It's just like, well, if you have my blood, it could hurt you, and so I don't want to give it to you. And it's like, that's your only excuse?
Well, isn't he a scientist too? Couldn't they like figure it out together?
That's what I guess.
I guess that's just too much thinking, and it wouldn't be as exciting as Green Goblin flying on a thing, shooting shit at him, saying, "Give me your spider blood." No, it's my spider blood. Blah.
Yeah, because really, for me, Spider-Man comes across as being really selfish.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Because, I mean, it's like, I want to be the only Spider-Man. I don't want there to be two Spider-Men here in New York. That's
so that's cool. The reason he doesn't want to give him his blood, because he thinks he's going to get superpowers?
Well, he thinks he's going to like get hurt or like something. Yeah, it's just like...
What an asshole.
Such a cheap excuse. Because also later, the big revelation in the train station...
Oh, that.
Right, no, getting back to that, is that Richard Parker had like messed with the spiders that were in the lab or whatever, the blood, something, I don't know. Yes. Even though he kills every spider in there at the beginning of the movie. So I don't exactly know where more come from, but here nor there. I don't know. It's not worth discussing.
So basically, Richard Parker made like every single villain outfit. Is that what happened too?
I think so, yeah. But so that's why he's definitely the guy in the black suit or whatever. But,
so dumb.
But his thing is that he encoded the spider DNA with his own. So you can't really mess with the DNA unless you're a Parker.
Parker. Wow. How shitty is that?
Right, because it also makes Spider-Man more predestined than chance. You know, it's like... And it takes away from his character.
It's the antithesis to anything Spider-Man stands for.
Yeah, it's like...
It's really ridiculous.
Because like a character like Thor, he's Thor because he's a god. That's why he gets to be Thor. Iron Man is Iron Man because he's super rich and super smart. And it kind of goes down the list. Captain America is given the serum. But Spider-Man is fate. He's just random accident. Gets bitten like anyone else could get bitten by a spider. And becomes Spider-Man.
And incidentally, all of those characters, not one strong female presence.
Devin would disagree, so you're
wrong.
Yeah,
you're right. I forgot. Yeah, Pepper Potts, great female presence.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention there's also Felicia Day in this movie, who's strictly a plot device. Or no, Felicia Rashad. Felicia...
Something like that. It's not Felicia Day.
Hardy, that's her name.
They didn't go that cheap.
No, no, they got someone cheaper than Felicia Day. I forget who it is.
Yeah, well, is she in the Black Cat outfit or not
no,
at all?
No, no, she just called Felicia Hardy, and all she does to help the movie at all is tell Harry Osborn that somewhere in Oscorp is a place called Special Projects, but she doesn't know where.
So she's in one scene and then disappears.
She's in like two scenes, yeah.
So Norman Osborn is barely in the movie.
One scene.
And he dies.
Right, yeah.
So what's the fucking point of you having him even in the movie?
What's the point of hiring
an actor and shooting that sequence?
There's no point. Because I'm also thinking, why can't Peter, once he knows about his connection to the blood, go to Harry, a lifelong friend, confess his identity? Because he doesn't know he's a dick. And really, Harry isn't. He's only a dick because he's trying to live.
Right.
You know, he's trying to, like, just survive. And that's what turns him into an asshole, is he's like, well, fuck you for taking away my hope, quote-unquote, so right. Now I'm going to take away your hope and kill your woman.
Right.
So it's like, you know what, I feel bad for Harry, because he's got this asshole friend who won't try and help him out.
Well, you know, you forget that Peter Parker is an asshole. Look at the first movie. Dennis Leary's dying words are, stay away from my daughter because you might kill her. And look at what happens. He doesn't, and she dies. He's an asshole.
Oh, that was a great bit, too. Dennis Leary is in this movie.
Oh, good. I was worried about that.
I know. He pops up silently, but as a reminder to Peter about his promise to, like,
but
kinda, like,
he
scare
he
him.
Doesn't follow the promise, and she dies.
No. Yeah, and then also, I was thinking they should continue that thread in the next movie and have Emma Stone pop up along with Dennis Leary.
Remember my promise that you were not going to hurt my daughter? Well, you're a liar and an asshole. And then she goes, thanks, Peter, you're just a prick. And then Norman Osborn shows up. I need your spider blood, you fuck.
Well, really, it's like, it is one of those things there, though. You're right, where it's like a movie would rather eschew from something more interesting, like doing research or trying to work together to find a cure for a common cause, and instead have a lot of punching, because that's more exciting.
Right. Well, it's a stupid premise on top of everything else. It's just like, oh, you have special blood. I need it to live. I don't want to give it to you. Let's fight. And it's like, that's the fight? Like, that's what it's about?
That's the whole excuse. Yeah, it's just like...
It's horrible.
They couldn't have come up with anything else to bring these two to fisticuffs.
And this is the same plot as Man of Steel. This is the same twisty plot as Star Trek Into Darkness, where the blood was the thing. But in Man of Steel, it was the codex. The DNA for Krypton was inside Superman, so they had to take the DNA out of Superman to repopulate Krypton. Remember that? And that made no sense, too.
No, yeah, this movie is, I think in a lot of ways, it's just a missed opportunity. I think the actors are great. I'm not a big Mark Webb fan when it comes to these films, but he has a lot of good visual sense. And I thought the color scheme was very comic book. A lot of, like, bold, bright colors. A lot of blue and reds that I thought really helped the movie kind of stand out. But it's just silent with this really awful script.
Well, I'm just curious. I'm curious to see the uncut version where they have the Mary Jane Watson shit.
She's only in one scene.
Was she only in one scene? Yeah. And they hired that ugly, dumb bitch to be Mary Jane Watson?
Yeah, that ugly, dumb bitch is Mary Jane Watson. You're right.
Yeah, no, she is. I've read enough interviews with her. She's a fucking dummy, dumb. I mean, she's the dumbest of them all. She's really stupid. She needs to really start reading more.
Shailene Jane Watson or whatever her name is?
Yeah, no, she's terrible. She's an awful human being. I've been reading about her, and she just sounds like just a total Hollywood dumbass diva bitch with a shitty franchise Divergent, which will just fail as each one comes out. It'll learn less and less at the box office, because this Divergent came out and did okay, but it was no Twilight, it was no catchy Hunger Games at all, not even close.
Yeah, I would not recommend this movie. The 3D was cool. The what do they call it? The webbing sequences where he flies or whatever, or soars, I don't know. I enjoyed that as well. But it's hard to kind of recommend this movie as a worth seeing in theaters.
I'll go see it just because I have, one, nothing to do. Nothing else is out.
Right.
Two, I want to see how terrible it is. Three,
yeah, yeah.
I do want to see Gwen Stacy die.
You know, I thought was a scene that was handled very well.
Well, that's good.
I mean, despite the on the nose of the clock tower, I thought overall they did a nice job with that.
But you know, nobody else thinks like you and me. The average moviegoer will be like, what was that speech about? She's talking about time. Oh, they're going to find a time tower. That's cool. Look at all them gears fly out. It's like 3D, but not. Look at all them gears from that time clock. That's crazy. Remember clocks? They used to have them on your wrist. They don't do that no more. They got phones for that.
Oh, and of note, worth noting, Andrew Garfield is a much better crier than Tobey Maguire. I'll give him big points for that.
Oh, Tobey Maguire is a fucking douche.
He has like the worst cry face.
Everyone hates Tobey Maguire, even fucking Tobey Maguire.
But no, his cry face is the worst. And I thought Andrew Garfield, while a bit redder, is better. It's a better face.
Redder is better.
Yeah, it is pretty red face though.
There you go, redder is better.
And I also like this bit at the end. Because it kind of that Spider-Man 2 bit, the Raimi version, where he stops being Spider-Man. But
oh,
it's for about 5 minutes, but they show the passage of time by him standing at her grave. And
oh, wow. So he changed his mind really quick.
Well, no, because it's probably about like 5 months or so. So
there's
like late summer, then fall, then winter, and it kind of goes from there. So
right.
And the best, cheesiest part... I'll spoil it for you, but I still think you'll laugh at the end. So the rhino, big scene, gonna fight the rhino. Spider-Man is not there. He's still kind of, you know, crying in his room.
Right.
But the rhino is there. Obviously, he'll come out and fight him at the end of the movie. But they're all waiting essentially. So this dorky kid that he meets earlier, in I thought kind of a cool scene to show that Spider-Man is able to help the smallest person and the biggest threat. So he's not just about saving the city. He will save a nerdy kid from bullies. Which
sure.
was kind of a cool scene. And I thought something that I would have seen in the comics, and I thought was pretty well done. But regardless, this kid is there later watching the rhino, you know, be an asshole. And he's in a Spider-Man outfit. So he puts on the Spider-Man mask and walks out into the middle of the street to challenge the rhino.
This little kid.
Yeah. He's like
That's
2 feet
funny.
Tall. Yeah. And then, and of course, like, Spider-Man comes in the last second and, like, you know, I've got this fight sort of thing. And then the kid leaves. But it's like...
The kid is horribly maimed by Rhino's rockets.
I wish. No, it's so cheesy, but it was like... It cracked me up. I just couldn't... I laughed so loud. It was bad.
Is there a tag at the end of this movie that sets something up, or what's there? Or is there an X-Men tag? Did you see that?
There is an X-Men tag. I did not see that.
Really? Do they not have it on your special screening?
From my understanding,
or you walked out?
From my understanding, they wanted to make sure it wasn't on there, so we didn't get to see it.
So this is a big push for Fox. Well, also because they want people to go see the movie specifically for that.
I guess. I don't know.
As
far as Spider-Man goes, there is no tag.
Okay.
I will say, though, that the tag, or what you could call the tag, happens during the movie.
Okay.
Because there's a scene, like I said, with Harry, where he consults with the guy in the black hat.
Shadow Man.
Yeah, they give him a name. It's like Mr. Frears or something. Fierce.
Whatever. Who cares?
Yeah, it's totally pointless. The name doesn't matter. But anyway, but he goes and he talks with Harry about getting a group together, and Harry is like, you know, the Rhino guy and put him in the Rhino outfit. That'll be our first henchman.
Yeah, right, right.
Okay. Which is
get
so dumb, too.
Get back together.
Yeah, it's so dumb because it's like he doesn't know this guy from Adam, A, this Rhino person.
Right.
B, this hat guy goes into Oscorp on his own alone and gets the suit somehow. I don't know how, but he gets it out of there no problem. And then this team frees the Rhino dude from jail. But I'm thinking to myself, why have the Rhino guy? How about this team that freed him from jail? I mean, they seem pretty competent. Maybe they should be in the Rhino outfit.
Right.
It's like, did you interview this Rhino guy? Do you know his credentials as a villain? I don't know.
So does that mean Black Cat will be in the Sinister Six? Or is she a good guy, ultimately? Or was she a bad guy, then a good guy, or a good guy, then a bad guy? What's her fucking deal?
She seems kind of in the gray area in this movie.
Wow, just like Catwoman.
Yeah, I mean, she's in no mood to help Spider-Man, but I don't necessarily think she's just, you know, say, chosen a side, so to speak.
Right.
Because part of it is she is trying to help Harry Osborn live. I mean, sorry, Peter, for trying to kill your best friend, but, you know, but some people do want to help this guy, you know, eat tomorrow, so...
Look,
you know.
Harry, I got... Like, I don't have time to give you my blood, because I'm just taking pics and skateboarding and doing cool stuff. I'm finger-banging Gwen. You gotta leave me alone, man.
It's like, I'm doing better stuff. You suck.
Go die. Here. You're gross. Go wear that gross makeup. Ew, you're all gross and sicky. I'm gonna go finger-bang Gwen Stacy. I just like that image. This thing that's kind of funny. In the Spider-Man suit.
Oh, well, of course, of course. So, all in all, I would say it's too long, too many subplots, too many characters. The Green Goblin plot is bizarre, just bonkers. And I don't know. I would give it, like, probably like a C-.
It's a movie that you'll go see and then a week later forget that you saw it and then was like, oh, wait, yeah, I did see that movie.
Well, I had to look at the Wikipedia page to make sure I was right on what happened.
There you go.
So, yeah.
But, let's talk about business here.
Sure.
What's it tracking right now? I think it's tracking pretty low.
Well, I do know it made par with the last movie internationally.
But that's... terrible. It didn't do
well. That's what I mean. It's not good. I mean,
no,
they,
it's not.
They need
usually
to do
a triples. I mean, shit.
Yeah.
Look at Captain America 2. It doubled its money in the first week, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, and Spider-Man 2 compared to the original did much better. Or well, no, actually, that's not true. Was it? I don't know. Was it true? I don't think so. Never mind.
Well, because what I saw was in Japan, it bombed. It opened number 4 in Japan, which is not a good sign. Because that movie does wonders in that crazy place. I think it's done almost $200 million internationally, and it opened 2 weeks before here.
It's made $132 million internationally.
That's it.
Yeah.
Wow. That's over what, a 2 week period.
I think so. Yeah.
That's not very good.
Yeah, I'm reading some stuff on it just to see what they say.
Yeah, it's got to be tracking maybe high 60s, mid 50s here. I don't think it's going to go beyond that. Maybe 75 if they're lucky. I don't know. I don't think it's going to do that well. I don't think anybody's interested. I think the first one turned a lot of people off.
Yeah, just as reference, Box Office Mojo is estimating a box office domestic below $250 million.
That's pretty bad.
It's not good.
That movie cost $250 million.
It did, yeah. I mean, I think domestic, it needs to earn a minimum of $300 million.
That ain't happening. Because first, what did Amazing Spider-Man earn when all said and done? Look that up. When was...
Yeah, hold on, let me see.
Domestic, and then give me an international worldwide total.
Yeah, domestic, $262.
Yeah.
Foreign, $490. Total, $750.
Eh, that's not terrible.
No, but it costs $230 claims, so figure it costs closer to $300 million.
Yeah.
So then
in ads alone have to, had to be 200 million.
Well, yeah, you got to at least
I've
dub
seen
it.
This everywhere. I mean, Jesus Christ, I've seen so many ads for this movie. I'm already bored of it. I'm sick of it. It feels like I've seen the damn thing already.
Well, remember the first one? It was like half an hour cut of the movie put together.
Right,
they,
yeah.
They took offline.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, this one, the last one, if you double it, it would need to make $600 million to break even, so it might have made a little over $100 million.
Right.
Which, considering its cost, its marketing, yeah, everything, it's not really that great. $100 million.
And then maybe TV rights, and then...
Sure, yeah.
Blu-ray, DVD sales, we never get an accurate number out of Hollywood, so let's give them the benefit of the doubt that that was about $200 million on top of that.
Right,
maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then toys and all that shit, that's another probably $200 million.
I think those toys just don't sell, though. Not like they used to.
No. I would say they're kind of iffy at best. I think most kids are interested in Avengers, Marvel stuff. Marvel as in Marvel, Disney, Marvel.
Well, they market that stuff better.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, I don't think this movie is going to be a big success at all.
And hopefully they'll lose the rights.
Well, they're going to do a third one regardless. I think everything else is up in the air, though. That's where I think it stands.
Well, yeah, the Sinister Six movie probably won't happen as a result of this not doing so well, because what's the point? Well, I don't care about the Sinister Six at all.
No, I'm going to bet
zero interest.
That this movie will... Because, let's see, the opening of the last one was $62 million. This one I can see being lower, like $50 million.
Ooh, wow, that's being brave.
Brave too high or brave too low?
Too low.
But the first one only made $62 million in the opening weekend.
Yeah, I know, but usually in this day and age, the sequels always do higher opening weekend. But they drop off faster, so it's kind of a catch-22, because a big opening doesn't mean anything anymore. Because you can have a movie open at $105 million, and the next week it'll make $25 million, so you're just like, oh, okay, whatever. Because everybody sees it the first weekend.
That's true. I just don't think this movie's going to do well at all.
And if you listen to Jeffrey Katzenberg, he's starting to say that movies are going to have a turnaround time of 3 weeks. Once they come out in the theater, 3 weeks later they'll be on Blu-ray. And she's like, really, Jeff?
I doubt that.
Just because your movies are bombing left and right with DreamWorks Animation and Disney is killing you, like beating you like a redheaded stepchild with a fucking baseball bat. Okay. Frozen, case in point. Frozen. Let's Jesus.
Okay, so yeah, I am way off base here. I'm looking at Variety for what they say the box office is going to be.
There you go.
Yeah, let me see what it says. So they're thinking potential $95 million opening.
There you go.
Let's see.
But it'll have a 70% drop off. I bet it'll be the steepest drop off in history. Yeah. That's going to be my prediction. Whatever the drop-off is, it's going to be one of the steepest ones of all time.
Well, I think part of what hurts it is just what comes out afterwards. There's just a lot of stuff.
Right. Well, what's the movie after Spider-Man?
After Spider-Man?
After Spider-Man Dose.
Let's see. Well, actually, next weekend you don't have anything, so it's kind of room to hang out.
Well, you still got the other woman out. Kate Upton's titties is going to make up for 25% of the box office.
But then you've got Godzilla, X-Men. X-Men is like going to kill it.
Probably,
for
yeah.
For sure.
Well, they're saying Godzilla's prime for a $60 million plus a weekend.
Well, I'm saying as far as like comic book movies go.
Oh, sure.
If Godzilla doesn't kill it, X-Men will nail the coffin shut.
Oh, sure. So yeah.
It's done by then.
Oh, by that point. No one will be seeing Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, it's got 3 weeks to do any serious business, and then it's over.
Yeah, then it's done, yeah.
Yeah. Old Katzenberg isn't wrong there, but I don't think we'll be seeing the Blu-ray that soon.
No, God, no.
But yeah, it's going to be tight.
Tight.
Like, Spider-Man finger-banging Gwen Stacy.
Yes.
There you go.
Oh well,
that's
well,
a long one.
Do you want to go to the bar and drink to the memory of Gwen Stacy?
Yeah, well, toast
and Mary Jane Watson.
Is she dead yet?
That dummy, dumb bitch.
Gosh, you hate
her. I'm sorry. I don't know. I hate her. She's annoying. She just looks like she hates everything because I'm so talented. I'm so bored by everything because I'm such an actress. But there's so many things going on in the world I need to talk about. She's one of those idiots.
One of those.
I hate
that.
I don't know. Actors bug me.
I understand, Richard. I understand.
I hate them all. Fair equally enough. Though, just like the owner of the Clippers.
Perfect.
All right, let's go. All bye. Right.
Bye.
That works.